Okay. Welcome back. After Pesach, we're going to learn the Kli Yakar and Parshas Shmini.
Very nice.
Okay. So I wanted to really look at two Kli Yakars tonight, two pieces tonight. First, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes, Nadav and Avihu have just been killed. Aaron demonstrates tremendous self-control. Vayidom Aaron, he's silent. You know, he doesn't respond in any way to the deaths of his sons. And immediately after the death of Nadav Avihu, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Aaron, and he tells him, Yayin v'sheichar al teisht. Right? You and your sons, the Kohanim, should not drink any wine or intoxicants. Okay, I'll just say the Pasuk, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes. Yayin v'sheichar al teisht ato v'necho yitok b'vachem el olal moed. When you and your children come into the olal moed, you shouldn't drink any wine or intoxicants, v'lo samusu, such that you should not die. Chukas olam l'doroseichem, an eternal law for all of your generations. What is the juxtaposition of this law to the death of Nadav and Avihu? So we're familiar with Chazal's drasha that explains that perhaps one of the sins associated with Nadav and Avihu is that they had what to drink before going into the Ohel Moed and bringing their karbon. Therefore, it's imperative to emphasize this idea at this point. The Kli Yakar offers alternative answers to what the juxtaposition of these two things is. Somach sivoi ze lekan lefishal nivra hayayin kiim lenachim bo ha'avelim. The reason this commandment is here is because the Gemara says in Erevin, the reason wine was created, the only reason wine was created, was to give consolation to mourners. Very interesting. To mourners. Right? Very interesting statement, right? People are bereft, they've just lost somebody close to them. They need to drink a little bit. Again, I don't think the Gemara is suggesting that Avelim should get drunk, as a way of dealing with their sorrow. But sometimes they just need some kind of release. So drinking in moderation helps them release. Right, it has a calming effect. Right, it enables them to help deal with the sorrow of loss. And indeed we find, the Gemara mentions that Chazal were actually misakin, that they instituted that Avelim should drink a certain number of cups of wine at the meal, 10, and then they upped it to 13 afterwards, a certain number of cups of wine at the meal, precisely for that reason, to try to assuage the sorrow. The Akshav Aaron should be evil l'pachos mutar lo lishtos yayin. So Aaron might have justifiably thought, I'm in Avelis over Nadav and Avihu, I understand that maybe it's inappropriate in general for a Kohen to drink when he does the Avodah, but maybe an exception should be made for me, being that I'm in an Avelus. Therefore, Al Kain Hisiro Kan Shafil Be'evlo Asr Lolishtoso Derech Shikrus. Therefore, it was imperative to tell Aaron at this point in time, I know you're an Avel, but you're still not allowed to drink. V'Rashi Piresh. Right, I'm bothered by that phrase as well, because Derek Shikrus, right, I mean, the issur of being a shasui, of not going into the avod, applies even to Revius Yayin. So I'm not sure why he adds those two words.
Derek Shikrus. I have a drink, calm my nerves. I have another one later.
Right, but in other words, the Isser of a Kohen doing the Avodah is even Shalom B'Derek Shikrus. I don't know why he has those two words. I was struck by that also. I don't know.
Well, that's maybe saying because is he allowed to do the Avodah while he's a novel?
No.
So he's not allowed to reveal us anyway, so.
Right, but you might think, as Aaron was told not to be knowing Avdelos. But you might think, okay, but psychologically, he's an Ovil, so he needs a drink to get him through. No, even that, you're not allowed to have a drink, even despite the fact that you're an Ovil. The Rashi Pirush Al Vayidom Aaron Shikibos Charsh Dikoso Shnis Yachid Lo Levado Dibur Zeh. Rashi writes, the pasuk says Vaydaber Hashem Al Aaron Leimor, which is a deviation from the norm. Usually, the pasuk says Vaydaber Hashem Al Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Ve'El Aaron, right? So Rashi writes, why is it over here that Hashem speaks to Aaron without speaking to Moshe? That's a reward for the fact that Aaron accepted the deaths of his sons with such equanimity. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, okay, I'm going to speak to you alone. That's Rashi writes. Ramaz kam shenikra shikor kol she'eino yachol ledaber b'fnei ha-melech. Alkein nisyachet elav ha-dibur lahoros lo shelo yiyah kol kach shikor she'eino yachol ledaber b'fnei ha-melech elo yiyah kol zman miyushot ledato at shiyuchah lahoshiv ze she'omar v'idaber Hashem el Aaron leymar b'milas leymar chosam lo kol ha-inyon lama l'cha shiyah muchon tamid leymar ulahashiv la-melech baruch hu. Writes very interestingly as follows. The definition of a shikor, of somebody who's drunk, is that he's not able to stand and speak in front of the king. For what purposes is somebody considered to be a shikor when he can't stand and speak in front of the king? So this is not a halacha in avoda. This is a halacha in davening shmonesra. Right? The Ramah writes that if that's how Ashkenazim passed it, that if somebody is so drunk that he can't be omid l'fnei ha-melech, you know, so that disqualifies him from being able to daven Shmon Esrei. Drinking a revius wine doesn't disqualify him from davening Shmon Esrei. Otherwise, you have
garbled his words and everything.
Right. In other words, you know, it wouldn't be fit for him to stand and speak in front of the king. So that drinking a revius of wine doesn't disqualify him from davening Shmon Esrei. Otherwise, you'd have a lot of problems. I mean, You finish a meal where you drank even a little bit of wine, and then right after the meal you get up to daven. You know, I mean, Motzei Purim, nobody would ever be able to daven. You know, I mean, you're certainly drinking wine during the Sudas Purim, and yet we daven because we assume that if you're yachol daven l'fnei amelech, you know, that's sufficient, even if you had, what to drink. Where do we get that shear of being yachol adavir l'fnei ha-melech? So he says, from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Aaron and relays this message to him, so you see that Aaron, and the way it's conveyed to him is by davar Hashem el Aaron leymar. Leymar means assuming that Aaron has the ability to answer back to Hashem. Because otherwise the word leymar is...
Yeah, you were telling him, right?
Right. But otherwise, the word leymar is somewhat hard to understand. Hashem said to Aaron, Hashem said to Aaron with the expectation that Aaron would be able to answer back. So you see the ability to answer back, you know, to speak with Pnei HaMelech is part of the definition of what it means to be sober.
I thought Hashem only spoke to Moses.
Right, so this is unique in that Hashem speaks to Aaron in this particular way.
The only time he ever spoke
right.
to
Aaron. Only to Aaron alone, right? And there's other times where it says Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, but here's to Aaron alone. Dover Acher, Romaz Kan L'Masha Amru Chazal, Nichnas Yayin Yosa Sod. Chazal also say in the same Gemara in Erevin, that when the wine comes in, the secret goes out. You know, a person gets drunk and he reveals his inner secrets. L'fikach nisyachei elav ha-dibor k'melech ha-megala la'avdo eizes sod v'lo rosa shiedu bo acherim. So it's as if Hashem was revealing something secretive to Aaron. In other words, I'm not even letting Moshe in on this discussion. I'm only speaking to you, to Aaron. And that shows this connectedness between the idea of yayin and the idea of sod. V'romaz lo Shlo yuchal ha'odam lavo b'sod Hashem ki'im b'tznai zeh shlo yishte yayin. Another juxtaposition between the idea of yayin and sod is as follows. Sod has a double meaning in Hebrew. Sod means secret. Sod also means assembly. I'm sorry?
Which day is secret one?
Assembly. Right? We say in Kedusha, k'noam siach sod sarfei kodesh, the assemblage of the srafim. So a person can only come in the assemblage of Hashem, in the sod Hashem, if he removes himself from yayin. It's either yayin or sod, right? We usually think of the yayin comes in, the sod goes out. Here he's giving a different interpretation. You're either drinking, or you're in the presence of Hashem, but yayin and being besod Hashem are two things that don't go together, as he suggests, right? And that may be another way to interpret, a very, you know, cute way to interpret the Gemara. Nichnas yayin yasa sod, not just that your own secrets go out when you drink the wine, but that the minute the wine comes in, the ability to participate in the assemblage of Hashem vanishes. Nichnas yayin yasa sod.
Are you saying the same measurement of one quarter, or is it more that you that you're really becoming inebriated?
I think more the second. I mean, because if anything, and he's going to talk about this, we use wine in moderation on many religious occasions, right? So,
is this only in wine, or is that the intoxicating beverage?
I think in context it means any intoxicating beverage, because that's the sheikhar. You know, yain v'sheikhar al tesh. An intoxicant.
Any.
Right, an intoxicant. I mean,
when I go into yeshiva, they translate out wine.
What?
Out wine, old wine.
Old wine.
I don't know what that means.
Right, but in halacha we say that if a kohen imbibes some kind of even milk. I mean, the Gemara talks about, you know, that milk has the ability to make a person drowsy. Right. The Gemara considers whether a kohen would not be allowed to drink milk before doing the afar because of sheikhar. Yeah. So in other words, you know, I mean, milk is not alcoholic, but I mean, it does have, you know, in great quantities, it has a somewhat similar effect, you know, to an intoxicant. Right? You know, that's guy walks into a bar, orders a milkshake. You know, I mean, it happens all the time.
Old wine is something that's been sitting a while, fermenting, like in a bottle, like aged wine, versus fresh wine, like Beaujolais.
I'm just not sure what it's adding.
It's stronger. Well, I don't know if that
is. I want to skip through a little bit. He talks about a few things with the wine. So he says, just skipping a little bit, Dover Acher. Now, you know what? We'll go straight. That's fine. We'll go straight. Dover Acher. The fish ashtiko yesh l'safik bo. When Aaron was quiet, the truth is there are two ways to understand his silence. Imu shosek umistayer umikari tagar beliba mishpatei Hashem. It could be that his silence is fury, right? You know, we says vayidom Aaron, and you know it's so wonderful Chazal say that he was so quiet, he accepted everything with equanimity. No, maybe he's boiling, and he doesn't have the words to rage against Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Or, as we assume is the case, he was quiet out of a sense of acceptance. And, again, it's hard to say it, but even happiness, you know, that whatever God brings is for the best. That's why God came and spoke to him. It was, God speaking to Aaron was an indication that the shtika of Aaron, the silence of Aaron, was the shtika that was a shtika of an acceptance, not a shtika of fury or of anger. How do we know that? God only causes his shchina to rest upon someone who's in a state of simcha. And obviously, if God is speaking to Aaron, God would never speak to someone who's infuriated, who's upset, who doesn't have that peace of mind. The fact that God is speaking to Aaron is an indication that Aaron himself has a degree of equanimity. But then, no de la
cause. God is speaking to him to calm him down from his anger.
Right, but that isn't the content of what he says to him. In other words, if he would have said, calm down, mela. But if he just reveals to him a halacha, a nevuah, something which is, you know, inherently just, you know, a piece of information. So then, I guess he was at a madriga to be able to accept it.
So I think it's supposed to accepting this simple. Why is there an end of income available for these people?
Right. So it could be that the mitzvah is, you know, again, yes, tzaddikim accept everything b'simcha, but the mitzvah is that they still need, you know, to, you know, that it still hurts, you know, when all said and done. And that, you know, perhaps is what the Gemara means. But the Gemara says that, you know, in the future, so even on the tragedy, we're going to, you know, make a bracha of hatov hametiv. But right now we don't. You know, it's right now as much as there's a sense of simcha. Simcha, I think, means acceptance and equanimity, but it doesn't mean that there is no pain that accompanies that as well. You know, you can be accepting of things, you know, and say that God is good in whatever He did, but the loss is still a loss. And I think those two emotions are there at the same time.
So it's going to come a need for a person like that, never was.
So I think so. I think so. In other words, you know, with all the simcha of acceptance, there's still a certain degree, call it a dull pain, you know, maybe it's not an open wound, but there's a certain dull pain that has to be addressed. So, yeah, so the very fact that Hashem appears to Aaron, but then, no devah kol ki yoy sameach bi yisurim ki minas ha-sadik, and that shows that Aaron had this acceptance. Dover acher, lefi shedmima zo hi al ra'a, sheinu mispar b'chol ha-maro shebegufos, u'bevada kulo sichli ke'echor mitzvah ha-maro, ki mitzara seichel ein ha-odo mispar o-mehem, al-kein dinu lis yachir elov ha-dibur b'lo emsoi, ki gam lunas le-ruchni ke'mosh mitzad dmima zo. Very interesting statement. He says, you know, or he implies that Moshe was able to receive Nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Moshe had become something higher than a regular human being. Moshe had become angelic in a sense. And that angelic status that Moshe had enabled him to be a recipient of the Dvar Hashem on so many occasions. By virtue of Aaron's silence, that transformed him into an angelic personality as well. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Aaron was not just simply a reward. Oh, well, you were good, you didn't react, so I'm going to give you a reward that I'm going to speak to you. No, it was a consequence. Now that you were silent and accepting and have raised yourself to this angelic level, that means that you're now capable of being on the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu who can receive direct nevuos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very interesting, you know, take on the idea introduced by Rashi, that the dibur comes to Aaron specifically as a schar, as a reward for Vayidam Aaron. Dover Acher, another insight into this pasuk, Lefisha Azhara Hashtia Yeshba Remes El Ashtika. There's a correlation between the prohibition of drinking specifically and the fact that Aaron was silent. Right? Again, it's not just arbitrary. Aaron was silent, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked something out of a hat and spoke to him about the idea of not drinking before you go into the mikdash. But there's a direct correlation to silence and not drinking. What is that? Ki kol shikor marbe dvarim. Because when you get drunk, you have a lot to say all of a sudden. Right? Aaron is quiet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll reveal to you the secret to keeping your mouth closed and not saying things that are going to be harmful. Stay away from drinks. If you drink, you're going to talk, and sooner or later you'll say something stupid and something harmful. If you want to maintain this shtika, which you started off with, stay far away from anything intoxicating. Ki aloshen hara tzlaso katil. We know Chazal famously say that Lashon Hara kills three. The one who says Lashon Hara, the one who receives Lashon Hara, and the subject of the Lashon Hara. Right? And that's why it says, don't drink, and you won't die. Not just you won't die because if you go into the mikdash while you're drunk, you might meet the fate of Nadav Avihu. But in general, if you drink, it's a bad thing. In general, drinking leads to death.
Don't drink and drive.
Right, don't drink and drive. You know, you might spill your drink. Right, but you know, if you drink and don't drink and talk, right, because you might kill someone in the process, you know, through lashon hara.
Why is this a
honoring? Oh, so we'll get to that in a minute.
For Kohen, not for anybody.
Right, so we'll get to that in a minute. The truth is, besides the fact that shikrus leads you to say things that you'll regret later on, drunkenness, you know, kills you in a very natural sense. Right? Kemoshikosov, as the Pasuk says in Mishle, Yesh derech yashar lifnei ish. There's a certain kind of the Pesukim in Mishle that speak out against drinking. There's a derech yashar lifnei ish. There's a certain kind of road that a person thinks is a straight, smooth road. Bachrisa darchei mavis. But in the end of the day, that road leads you to death. Yesh derech yashar. If you take the first three words of the pasuk, the last letters of each of those three words, Yesh derech yashar, Sofei tevos shecha, spells out intoxicant. Ki al yidei ha-shecha. What?
Also spells out kosher the other way.
If you spell it the other way, right? Ki al yidei ha-shecha akol be'enov lemishor. When a person drinks, everything looks like it's wonderful, right? Everything's great. Ka amru chazal. Right? As the pasuk says, as Chazal say, a person who spends a lot of time drinking, all of the arayus, all of the prohibited relations, seem to him like they're totally fine. Right?
Kosher.
Right, exactly. Kosher. Right? When you're a shikur, you can't read the letters straight and everything looks like it's kosher.
Sometimes when you drink too much, it can make you more, if you're depressed, it can make you more depressed.
Right, exactly. No,
yeah, it doesn't make you just like lively. Right. Sometimes it makes you more depressed.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And there's alcohol poisoning, it's not good things. Right? So that, and he ends up saying, "Kihu meimis kein b'derech onesh, kein b'derech hateva." Drinking will kill you as a punishment, but drinking will also kill you just naturally. In other words, just as a consequence from the drinking. So we've just said, again, in a homiletic sense, he interpreted that the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Aaron, not just that drinking as a Kohen going into the Mikdash is prohibited, but as a Jew, drinking is not a good idea. This is an anti-alcoholism, parsha in the Chumash. But Yaakov's question from before, how do you reconcile that even homiletically with the Pshat and Pasuk? The Pasuk doesn't say don't drink. It says don't drink b'vo'achem elo el moed. Right? So, what does that mean if we're going to interpret it homiletically? So he says, Ramos v'pashuzo emosai osu l'shtoso, hu sha'omar b'vo'achem elo el moed. Ramos sheshikor osu l'vo el heicho melech yisparach l'spalu l'fonov. Right? L'bavachem el oel moed means when you come to daven. Again, homiletically. Obviously, in the context, it means when you come to do the avoda. But when you come to daven, so then, no drink. I mean, you shouldn't drink in daven. Ve'emasai mutar l'shtosa. But there are times in Jewish life where it's permissible and even encouraged and obligatory to drink. When is that? Kishuhu mekadesh is yom ha-shabbos ha-kodesh b'knisoso v'yitziyoso. When you sanctify Shabbos through Kiddush and Havdalah, and that's what it goes on to say in the next pasuk. Ula havdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol, to distinguish between sacred and profane. That you are allowed to drink. So, in other words, the way to read the pasuk homiletically is as follows: Ya yin v'sheichar al teish ato vanecho itoch b'vachem elo el moed. When you're about to engage in something that requires focus and concentration, like davening, you shouldn't drink. And indeed, in general, it's not a good idea to drink v'lo samusu, because drinking leads you to say things that can be harmful and kill. However, lahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol, to make kiddush and havdalah. So then, not only are you allowed to drink, but you should drink. There, wine can have a constructive purpose.
What about Purim?
Oh, okay, one second. V'af kam zos, lo yishta oso derech shikrus, as you call arayos atveos alav l'mishar. Even when you drink for Kiddush and Avdol, it doesn't mean get drunk for Kiddush and Avdol, it means drink a little bit. El yishta v'ofen shuchal la'avdil ben atomi la'tor, uv'ofen shuchal la'horis espnei sol eiskol achukim, lo yitta b'hora oso. So again, homiletically he interprets lahavdil ben hakodesh ben achal. You drink for kiddush and havdalah, but don't drink too much. Bein hatame uvein hatar. You should still drink in such a way, only in a minimal sense, that you can still distinguish between what's tame and what's tahor. Ulahoros es bnei Yisrael. And you know, even when you drink, make sure that you can still give proper halachic instruction to those who need it. You know, yes, drink for kiddush and havdalah, but don't overdo it. Right? Now, again, clearly, this is not a pshat interpretation of the psukim, right? But what the Kli Yakar is basically doing here is he's articulating through the psukim the halacha's attitude towards drinking and drunkenness. Drunkenness is a bad thing, right? You don't get the impression that the Kli Yakar was making any exceptions for Purim either. Right? Drunkenness is a bad thing. We allow drinking a little bit for Kiddush and Havdalah, right? To add a little bit of sparkle to, you know, to the enjoyment of Shabbos, you know, to the marking of Shabbos. But B'derech Klal, you know.
Simplistora.
What's that?
Simplistora.
Yeah, there's no source for drinking
what?
Extra. There's no source for drinking extra in Simchistora.
Some people go a little crazy in Musaf the last, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Not crazy,
if people go crazy, they go crazy. But, you know, Musaf is still Musaf. But in general, the Kli Yakar is articulating a hashkafa that, you know, you have to realize that drunkenness is there, and even drinking, you know, not to the point of drunkenness, but derech klal, is not a good thing. You know, if a person wants to, you know, to not share his secrets with the world and not say things that he's going to regret, you know, at some later point in time, he should really curtail the degree to which he's drinking.
Halachically, pre-grape juice by the Arba Kosos,
yeah.
The person after the second pose felt that he's getting drunk or he's losing it. Is there a heter, was there a heter not to have the other two? And because you're afraid what the Rav is saying, you're going to act inappropriately, or did you still have to finish something,
yeah,
the low lugma for the other two crises?
Yeah, no, you still have to. You have to finish off the
so
Yishalm.
Weren't we worried? I mean, did people, well, did they drink better in those days, so we don't worry about four crises? I mean, how much? I mean, here our own Hachareviyas, that I'm assuming is a lot less than Arba Kosos.
It's so, less, but not a lot less. I mean, each of the Kosos are supposed to be Rov Revius. Right, so that
but
means
isn't by our own just one revius?
Right,
rove, that's four times as much. That's a
rove means a little more than half. So let's call it half.
Okay.
Right. So basically, you know, over the course of the night, you're having two revius, a little more than two revius. Right. Plus they're spaced. Plus you're having a meal in the middle, you know, to absorb the alcohol. So you know, you're really not having a lot by the dalakosis by the seder. I mean, at Kedekach, when my wife was pregnant with her first, so, you know, pregnant women are supposed to drink alcohol, so she went to the doctor and said, look, you know, we have this holiday Pesach coming up, and she described the shiurim and everything like that. And the doctor said, you know, the doctors are usually very, wasn't a firm doctor, you know, they're usually very reluctant to permit anything in this vein. The doctor said, oh, that's what you're talking about? Nah, that's fine, don't worry about it, go ahead. You know, 1.5 fluid ounces, you know, four times in the night, spaced out, you know, over a couple of hours, nah, that's nothing, you know. So you're allowed to do that already. Mitzad ha-refuah. You know, the truth is they did hold their liquor better because they drank wine, you know, as water. Right, that was what they do in France today. You know, that's what they did in the time of Chazal. They were used to drinking a lot. So four kosos was probably nothing, you know, as far as they were concerned. Yeah, but the Yerushalmi tells the story of one of the Amoraim who used to get a headache till Shavuos. That's how he described it. He used to get a headache till Shavuos from the Dalet Kosos. But he, you know, he was a man, and you know, he got through it. You know, he managed to deal with it in some way. Okay, I wanted to look at another piece that's a little closer to the end of the Sedra, where the Sedra talks about the Inyanim of Kashrus, and this is Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. We know that there are you know, the signs of kosher animals are two signs, split hooves and chewing the cud. And the Torah delineates four different animals who have one sign but not the other. And it calls them by name. The Gamal, the Shafan, the Arnevis, and the Chazir. So he writes, "Es hagamal ki mala geirahu, havale lemeimar ki parsa einenu mafris." You know, it's interesting, says the Kli Yakar, when it talks about these four animals, so starting with the gamal, with the camel, the pasuk says you should stay away from the camel, don't eat the camel. Why? Ki mala geirahu, it does chew its cud, ufarso enenu mafris, but it doesn't have a split hoof. So says the Kli Yakar, the truth is, if you think about it, the problem is not that it chews its cud, the problem is that it doesn't have a split hoof. So the pasuk should have said, esagomo ki parso enenu mafris, even though it chews its cud, but it doesn't have a split hoof. That should have been the focus. Instead it says it chews its cud, but it doesn't have a split hoof. Why in that order? And with the Chazir, it's the opposite. The Chazir, it says, it has split hooves, but it doesn't chew its cud. Why, when it describes, you know, that which it has, it starts off with the Simen Tahara, it should have started off with the Simen Tumah. So he writes a beautiful thing. He says, Uvir Inyan Zeh, the answer is as follows. The fact that it has one simen, which is tahar, is the main reason why it's treif. Why? Chazal compare Esav to the chazir, to the pig. The pig has split hooves. So what does the pig do? It doesn't just have split hooves, it shows off its split hooves. Because the pig wants to tell everybody, I'm kosher, look at my split hooves. And Esav as well was a hypocrite. He portrayed himself as kosher, but in fact, he was the exact opposite. V'zel more al komi she'en tochel kibara. Kimidas hatzvuyim shemaris asmim ksherim. Right? The ultimate, the worst thing is to be a hypocrite, says the Kli Yakar. So all of these four animals, so to speak, are hypocritical. I mean, again, obviously not really, right? There's
they're not like,
right?
They're not like the Chazir who shows outside, so inside he's not kosher, and outside he's kosher. The other three are not showing any outside signs of being kosher. They're just inside in their own privacy they're kosher.
Right, right.
See the comparison there.
Right, so I mean, it's not as extreme as the Chazir, but he wants to claim, if, you know, to be sort of treif is in a sense worse than being totally treif. At least if you're totally treif, we know what we're dealing with. If you're sort of treif, you know, so, you know, in other words, you have aspects of being kosher, but aspects of being treif, the treifness within you makes the kosher part of you not a maila, right? It makes it a chisara. Now, again, you can. We're talking about animals. I mean, all of this is, you know, giving human traits to animals, which he himself says later on. I mean, obviously, we're not, you know, we're not blaming camels or rabbits, you know, for that which they do. But, you know, but the fact that you're somewhere in the middle, you have something which is kind of kosher about you, that's a chesaron. If you're going to be treif, you might as well be treif. And that's what he says. These hypocrites, hema belief suffek, grew him in harasha hagamur. It's a very strong lashon. The hypocrite, without a doubt, is worse than the real rasha, the total rasha. Shetocho barin shavin l'ra. You know, he is what he, you know, what he says he is what he is. Kamal shapirish Rashi al pasuk lo yachlu davar l'shalom. Rashi writes this with regard to the relationship between the brothers and Yosef. Whatever you want to say about the brothers and how they hated Yosef, says the pasuk, you know, they couldn't speak nicely to him. So says Rashi, that's a maila. At least they weren't hypocritical. They didn't like Yosef. They made no secret about the fact that they didn't like Yosef. You know, they were straight. Al kena frosas parsa b'chazir u'simin tumah. That's why the chazir is treif, not just because it chews its cud, because it doesn't chew its cud, rather. It's not just the failure to chew its cud which makes it treif, it's the fact that it doesn't chew its cud and it portrays itself as being kosher by sticking out its hooves. The fish parses though who yachal hatos abrius laris kilu of kosher. The chen behepich zeh begama b'shafan v'arneves. Right, the camel and the shafan of the arneves, the various types of rabbits, whatever they are, you know, also have this. It's worse to be half than to be totally treif.
When we give musar, don't we accentuate the positive first, and then before you get into being critical of the person, when you talk to someone? And maybe that's what the Torah is teaching us, how to approach something. I mean, you can say, you know, good, blah, 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 but you say, hey, this is good, positive about you, but you're lacking in, your legs are not split, your hooves are not split, or
right,
you're not chewing your cud.
So the reason, I mean, I think it's a true lesson in general, the reason I think it's hard to apply it over here is because the pasuk says, and this is why it's treif, because, you know, and as the pasuk is talking about what's wrong with these animals. So, you know, to accentuate the good first, in context...
So if you have good, there's still bad, and sometimes the bad overrides your goodness.
Right.
That's why it's saying, and this is why it's no good.
Right, but in other words, the focus in the pasuk is, you know, why you can't eat this. So, or at least we should have, you know, pulled out, this is why you can't eat it. Yes, it has good qualities, but, you know, the reason you can't eat it is this.
Is
right?
Any hemshek between this with hooks and the way the Kohen built this?
No, so the Kohen is trying to produce five air spaces, five windows, because the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Meitzitz min HaCharakim, that God is looking through the windows, hey charakim, five windows. There are five windows to which the Shekhinah, you know, devolves upon people. That's why the Kohanim hold their hands in that particular fashion, you know.
But why would, like, I see, what I don't understand is why would, like, split hooves, why would that make an animal? Who decides that that's what makes an animal kosher or not kosher? No, I mean, but for what reason? For what reason? I mean, they could have said anything.
Right.
Why that it's picked? It has to have split hooves.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That was God's.
Yeah.
That was God's choice. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They don't tell us.
God didn't tell me. I don't know. That I don't know. The apple piece should call me those elo enim shayachim bebehemos. Of course, you know, we can't really accuse the camel of being a hypocrite. You know. We call makom hemo lidin tchuna rosa begufa ochlam. But you know, you are what you eat, and if you eat an animal which is quote unquote hypocritical, it has an impact on you as well, right? And then he goes on to say, and I'll just summarize this outside, Chazal have a medrash where they say the four animals which are mentioned specifically in the Chumash as being treif because correspond in turn to the four malchios, the four kingdoms that subjugated the Jewish people. The Gamal is Babel, and the Shafan is Persia, and the Arneves is Greece, and the Chazir is Rome. So ask the Kli Yakar, where did Chazal get that from? You know, because the Torah says there are four treifa animals that are delineated. So those are the four kingdoms. So he says, see what we've said about these four animals. These are the four animals that are hypocritical. They portray themselves one way, but they're different. You know, the different
inside.
Who
were the other two, Rabbi?
The two.
Who were the other two? You said pig and camel.
The pig, and two different types of a rabbit. A rabbit and a hare.
Rabbit?
Rabbit, yeah. So says the Kli Yakar, one of the things that characterized all of these nations that subjugated us is that they started off telling us how much they loved us. Right? And it was only afterwards that we ran into problems with them.
So why didn't include Egypt?
Right? What's that?
The Rock didn't mention Egypt.
Yeah, and also, now, the truth is, Egypt is not considered to be one of the four Malchias. In other words, I guess...
In that time, I believe it was.
No, but the four Malchias are the four Golias.
Oh.
So in other words, I guess we have to be first established in Eretz Yisrael before you can have a Golias. But if you think about it, you know, the Babylonians were originally our friends, right? We're learning Yeshaya now. You know, after the defeat of the Assyrians, the Babylonians, you know, sent to Chizkiyahu. He made a whole, you know, he showed them around Yerushalayim. He showed them all his treasures, right? Now, originally the Babylonians were our buddies. And then that went sour. And the Persians loved us. They let us rebuild the Beis HaMikdash until Haman came on the scene. And all of a sudden the Persians didn't like us so much. The Greeks loved us to bits, right? You know, they wanted us to assimilate. And the Romans, you know, they were also, the Romans were invited into Yerushalayim to settle the dispute within the Hasmonean dynasty. Whenever, you know, the quality of anti-Semites is hypocrisy. You know, that they make themselves like they love us, and then, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and you realize that the love wasn't really as thick as we thought it was originally. Right? And he writes that, you know, that's a lesson which we're supposed to take away from, you know, the Chazal identifying the four Malchias with these four types of animals, that, you know, the worst quality that we can say about them is this degree of hypocrisy which they exhibit.
So why did Rome get the outside sin of Kashrut?
I guess Rome really, in a way that went beyond the first three kingdoms, I guess really tried to portray itself as pro-Semitic. I mean, again, I guess just in history, how did the Romans come into Yerushalayim? The Romans were invited into Yerushalayim by the Jews. You know, they were the only, they were really seen as being friends, you know, of the Jewish people. Right, so you know, I guess
they started, all these monarchies started off acting nice to the Jews, and then they subjugated them.
Right. So I guess you know, the idea is,
so that's that, like the Chazir,
like all of them, right? But the Chazir goes even further than the rest of them. You know, it particularly manifests this hypocrisy, and I guess this hypocrisy was particularly manifest in Rome, even more so than the other three Malchias.
Patrick
does say that Esav
is like a
Chazir. Right. Right. Yishayof of Asar Astam. Yeah. Right. No, so Esav is compared to the Chazir. Right. So that degree of hypocrisy, which Chazal also associate with Esav, you know, Kesav Matsun, Zatevan, Vizamelach, you know, so that was what Chazal saw in the Roman Empire. I mean, it's particularly striking because the Roman Empire itself always portrayed itself as the ones who would uphold law and justice. You know, the Pax Romana, you know, they were committed to this idea that, you know, we spread justice wherever we go. And, you know, I think Chazal felt, yeah, you spread justice wherever you go, except when you're dealing with the Jews, right? You know, the hypocrisy was just that much more blatant, you know, when it came to the Romans, that much more insidious. And that's a lesson to take away from here as well. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we'll also meet on Thursday night. Thursday night. So we will, Be'ez Hashem, pick up and see everybody then. I wish everyone a good chance.